Now, a Jewish newspaper started 120 years ago in Yiddish is now one of the fastest growing online publications in America. The Forward gets more than a million hits a month for its coverage of the US and Israel, arts and politics and culture. It's a real marketplace of ideas for a Jewish community that loves a good argument among itself. At the helm, Jane Eisner, the Forward's first female editor-in-chief. She's been in Australia for the Limud Oz Festival of Jewish Culture, and I caught up with Jane a few days ago and welcomed Jane Eisner to the Saturday Extra Studio.
Thank you so much.
Before we get stuck into some of the, the lively issues in American Jewish life and life in Israel as well, tell us a bit about the Forward, because it's got a fascinating history.
It does, Andrew. As you mentioned, it's more than 100 years old, founded in 1897 in the Lower East Side. It served an immigrant community coast to coast. And in its heyday, The Forward was the largest non-English newspaper in America ever.
Let's talk now, Jane, about The Forward and its role in contemporary America, especially American politics. It's an election year. American Jews still vote overwhelmingly Democratic. I remember all these predictions that in 2012, Barack Obama's support among the Jewish community had plummeted because he wasn't seen as supportive of Israel. And I think he ended up with 70%+. Why are American Jews, no matter how successful, no matter what their education is, no matter, in a sense, where they live, why are they still reliably a Democratic vote?
You raise a really important question. Every 4 years, especially, the Republicans say this will be the year that more Jews vote for us than for the Democrats. And in fact, since Franklin Delano Roosevelt was in office, there's only been one time when a Democratic candidate received less than a majority of Jewish votes, and that was Jimmy Carter in 1980. Why? I think it's a lot of reasons. I think that American Jews are still quite liberal in American terms, believe that government is a force of good, believe in a strict separation of religion and state, are in favor of human rights, abortion rights, gay rights, the kinds of things that bind them to the Democratic Party. I know this because of survey data that we are much more inclined to be empathetic with other minorities. There's a sense that we still kind of identify with the underdog, even if many of us are no longer in that position.
We can't have a discussion about current American politics without talking about Donald Trump. Why did The Forward have a 24-hour blackout on Donald Trump?
Well, we called it our Trumpatorium. It was a statement, really, in solidarity to a great many journalists, some of whom write for us regularly, who were being harassed and trolled and really threatened online by white supremacists who were speaking in the name of Trump. Now, I want to be clear, we did not accuse the Trump campaign of stirring this up, nor did we say that Donald Trump himself is anti-Semitic. I don't believe that. He has a Jewish daughter.
And he likes to remind you, Jewish
grandchildren.
And he was at their bris. And
well, not at the last one.
Oh, right.
But yes, I don't believe that he is anti-Semitic. Honestly, you can't be in real estate in New York and be an anti-Semite.
You said that.
But I do think it's fair to say that his campaign and the candidate himself has not done enough to disassociate himself from this cyber hate. It got to the point where one of our columnists literally went out and bought a gun to protect her family because she was getting such terrible threats against her. And so we're a small news organization. You know, I'm not going to get kicked off the campaign plane the way the Washington Post has. So this was our way of saying, you know, we're going to just take a break for 24 hours. We're going to accept the fact that the media has been complicit in many ways in stirring up a kind of hateful campaign.
Yeah.
And so we're going to do our bit just to sort of say nothing. Tweet nothing, do nothing for 24 hours.
But you said, I think, in an editorial, Jane, that the media must take some responsibility because they treated Trump like a reality TV show, which, of course, he was a couple of years ago, but failed to really take him seriously as a presidential candidate.
I think that's true. I think that his so-called policies were not analyzed carefully enough. I don't think he was challenged in the same way. But nor do I think the media really tried to understand the source of his appeal. And that's what as journalists we ought to be doing, right? Not just following around the candidate, but trying to figure out why people vote for him or her. Mm. And I think only now a lot of journalists in America are waking up to this.
Is the Jewish relationship with Israel under tension?
Yes, I think that it is. I think it's always been. And I think it's more so now because we've seen a right-wing government in Israel that has decided to challenge the Obama administration on many fronts, including, of course, the Iran deal. So that's going to create tension. Remember, we just talked about the fact that most Jews are Democrats. Most Jews voted for Barack Obama in 2008 and in 2012. He made one of his signature efforts in the second term of his presidency, getting a nuclear deal with Iran. Then you have the Israeli prime minister coming to Congress saying, no, this deal is a bad deal. And so that is going to create a tension for Jews and others who feel a loyalty to support what the president thought was good for the United States, and yet in conflict with what the prime minister of Israel thought was good for Israel.
Are there many American Jews, though, who think that Bibi Netanyahu and this government, with figures like Naftali Bennett and Ayelet Shaked, I think it is, very, very right-wing figures, are there figures in the American Jewish community who still think that this government is in the long-term interests of Israel?
Oh, yes, there are. For example, on Iran, most American Jews seem to support a deal, but there was a large minority that did not. I think there are still many Jews in America who do support Netanyahu, if only because he's the duly, fairly elected prime minister of the state, because there are great many concerns about security in Israel. And there's a feeling, I think, among American Jews that we don't really know what it's like to live there, to suffer from terrorist attacks, to have our children in the army. And so we need to support whatever government is there. I wouldn't say that's a majority of American Jews, but I think it's a very big minority. Mm. Most of the large communal organizations, the defense organizations, if you will, do side with the government of Israel. In fact, they tend to side with whatever government is in power in Israel.
Those security concerns are very real because there's been this spate of stabbings against Jewish citizens in Israel. At the same time, though, there's got to surely be a deep discomfort with the language that's coming out of a lot of Israeli government figures when you've got a former prime minister like Ehud Barak saying that the seeds of fascism have been planted in Israel, when you've got a Likudnik minister on his way out, Moshe Yaalon, talking about extremists taking over the government. That's got to alarm a lot of the American Jewish community.
It does alarm us. It does alarm me. But underlying all this is what really should concern us, which is that we're coming up to 50 years of an occupation. And beyond the rhetoric, we all know that there is some nasty political rhetoric in all democracies where there's free speech. Yes, that concerns me. But what concerns me more is the underlying cause. And that is that Israel still hasn't come to grips with figuring out how to work with a Palestinian leadership, which has been at fault as well.
Absolutely.
But to work with a Palestinian leadership to create two states that would give Palestinians sovereignty and Israelis security.
How much of a generational divide is emerging in the American Jewish community? We've had the development of the group called J Street, which says that it's a progressive Zionist organization supporting a two-state solution. More recently, a group of young American Jews, deeply entrenched in Jewish community life, have set up an organization called If Not Now that occupies the offices of the American Jewish organizations. Is a generational divide emerging?
I think that we are seeing it. The polling data shows that younger American Jews are much more likely to be critical of the Israeli government, whether they join a group like If Not Now, which is still quite small, or J Street, which is growing. I think you'll see that. It makes sense in a lot of ways. Look, my parents' generation saw the founding of the State of Israel, the incredible vulnerability and incredible power of what happened there with this return after many thousands of years. But younger people, especially in their teens and 20s and 30s, their only experience of Israel is as, in essence, a sort of superpower in the region. Yes, a very stable one, arguably the most stable government in the entire region right now, which is nothing to shrug at, but still a government that is occupying another people and has a degree of economic and security stability and power even, that it seems at odds with this notion of it being, you know, a small, vulnerable state. So I think that we're going to see this divide even more in younger people, much more willing to criticize the government, to distance themselves from it, from a position of love, but just wishing for something different.
How does the American Jewish community treat those who are considered dissenters?
Well, I think it depends on who you ask. The classic institutional defense organizations, the Anti-Defamation League, the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, AIPAC, the sort of big Israel lobby, if you will, have a hard time with this kind of dissent. They're not used to it. They try to strive for bipartisan agreement. And I think that, you know, because some of it is generational, it's harder for older folks to understand. And they still feel vulnerable. So they feel that, like any family, you should keep your criticisms, you know, around the dining room table and not say them outside. There has been tension there. And I think that we haven't learned enough about how to have these disagreements without labeling each other, you know, either apologists or traitors.
It's been a great pleasure. Jane Eisner, Editor-in-Chief of The Forward, the world's largest English-language Jewish newspaper. Jane has been in Australia to be part of the Limud Oz Festival of Jewish Culture and Education. Jane, thank you very much for being with us on Saturday Extra.
It's been my pleasure.